Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews, the 4th chapter, starting in verse 14. The Bible says, "See then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The writer of the book of Hebrews is taking those early believers back into their Jewish history concerning the work of the high priest. He reminds them that those earthly priests, they had a temporary work. That those that filled that office would one day die, and another would take their place. But bringing them forward to the work of Christ, it says that the work of Christ never ended, because he died and rose again. If that ever lives as our high priest in the heavens. But to those early believers, and even for us, it would be easy to wonder, well, has all that changed since Jesus is no longer on earth? Has anything changed about him? than Twitter. I believe the Apostle Paul is saying this, that he wants these discouraged believers to realize that although Christ is now in heaven, that he still cares. He still is interested in helping all who struggle and suffer in life. So he writes to them and he says, let us hold fast our profession. The idea is, don't let life, don't let its problems and pressures cause you to lose hope or trust in the Lord. He is saying that don't let questions rise in your mind. Does God really understand where I'm at? Does the Lord really know all I'm dealing with in a day-to-day basis? So Paul gives them an anchor. Paul gives them a stone to stand on. If the days with the storm winds blow violently against us, I'd like to preach for just a few moments through this thought of our sympathizing Savior. Our sympathizing Savior. Verse 15. The Lord Paul says, for we have not yet high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Paul tells, first of all, something about the fact of his sympathy. You see, it's one thing to rejoice thinking, well, I'm glad that I have a Savior that's with me in times of joy, times of gladness, when the sun shines on my life. But what about when the rain comes? What about when life's hard? What about times of struggle? Times of disappointment. So he reminds them in us that we have a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. That word is taste. It means our times of weakness or lack of strength. Paul is saying, thank God you have somebody that can be touched by your times of weakness in life. That word touched is the idea of sympathizing. It is the idea of being affected with the same feeling as another. It is saying, in other words, in our pain, Jesus is pain. In our suffering, He feels our hurt. In our weakness, He understands it. You see, the reason that Jesus can sympathize with us is because He's been here. He knows what it is to hurt. He knows what it is for people close to Him to die. He knows what it is to feel pain. The idea is we can't say to Him, Lord, you just don't understand what I'm going through. Because He does. He understands our hurts and our hearts. Somebody said, unlike a doctor who simply prescribes medicine for a disease, Jesus is like a doctor that's experienced the same disease and understands how we feel. Thank God, I'm glad He understands our hearts. When our face is wet with tears, I'm glad our Savior understands a broken heart. Bible says in John 11, Jesus stood at the grave of Lazarus and wept. I'm glad He understands our tears that we shed. When we're overwhelmed and frustrated, thinking nobody knows how we feel, I'm glad our sympathizing Savior can sit down beside us, put a loving arm around us, and say, I understand. I understand. I know you're hurt. I know how you feel. I see the fact of His sympathy, but I also see the how of His sympathy. preacher, how is it that Jesus can sympathize like that? Back in chapter 2, verse 17, said, wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. The idea is that the reason he sympathizes so well is he became a man. It wasn't that he was almost a man. Thank God he was a real man. I invite you to just ponder that thought just a little bit. Jesus, as an infant, had to learn to talk. Jesus, as a toddler, had to learn to walk. Jesus was a teenager at part of his life. Jesus knew what work in the carpenter shop was like. Jesus went through life like you and I. But it says in all points, tempted like we are, yet without sin. Some may say, well, that means he really doesn't know what it's all about. That isn't the idea at all. The idea is Christ experienced every single temptation in himself that we could ever face, but he never sinned, but he experienced it all. Jesus knew the depths and pains of life that we'll never know. Jesus hurt greater than we will ever suffer. That sorrow that feels so isolating, so unique, that was all endured by him while he was on this earth. But then I want to say one more thing. I see the result of his sympathy. Says in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. I want you to think just a moment that what he is saying is this. Because we have such a loving, such a faithful high priest, that we've got a standing invitation to come up, come and call upon Him in our times of need. The Bible says we can come boldly. That word boldly doesn't indicate arrogance. That means we can come with confidence to the throne of grace. I love that little phrase, throne of grace. Rachel, why do you love that? Because that indicates the place where grace flows from. Thank God and glad He has grace in our times of need. When life has us burdened down, when troubles seem to be our mainstay, when life gets overwhelming, as a child of the King, I can come with assurance to a throne of grace and know that I can find mercy and grace to help in my times of need. Somebody put it like this: we find mercy for our past failures, but we also find grace for our present needs. I'm glad that the Bible says in James 4:6, but He giveth more grace. Sometimes a day begins and it seems to start out so well, seems to begin so smoothly. But before the sun could set on that day, everything seems to fall apart. Preacher, I don't know if God truly understands all I'm going through, but He does. Because we have a sympathizing Savior. He's been here. And He understands. Some may be thinking, preacher, you don't know how bad my heart hurts. Preacher, you just don't understand how bad I feel and how hard things are. Honestly, I may not know. But there is one that understands where you are. There's one that understands your hurt in your heart today. I'm so thankful that He's a sympathizing Savior for you and I. Notice He said that we find grace to help in time of need. Preacher, what does that mean? In my words, It means right on time. Right on time. I have always found His grace. Right on time. Mary and Martha thought Jesus was 4 days late. But in reality, He was right on time. Sometimes we feel like, God, where are You? Why can't I feel You? Why can't I sense You? But right on time, His grace is sufficient. Where are you at today? Where are you with things today? There may be some right here. Your feelings are maybe, I just don't think anybody understands. I don't think anybody knows just how bad I feel and I'm hurt today. Thank God there is one who cares. There's one who understands. And He invites us. Come to Him. And we can find grace to help in a time of need. Brother David, would you give us a song next? That's the message of my heart. There may be somebody today that you need to just bow and holler, seeking the Lord to give you grace for whatever it is that's hurting you so deeply today. Preacher, do you think He'll really give me grace? I guarantee it He will. He will give you grace. Let's stand. Brother David.